Thank you, Dr. Stan, for having me back on. My particular work as a pastor has been, of course, primary responsibility is to teach the Word of God and to help believers come to know their purpose in life and to fulfill the purpose that God has called them to. But in the process of doing this work that I'm working with now, in terms of the people I'm working with now, rather, is centering in on trauma-based mind control. Children who have been born into families that have been generational satanic families. This is, of course, well documented. On my website, I have many links to the documentation of this reality. But this population is pretty well hidden in the church because the pastors, many of them, are in denial that such a level of evil can really exist. But there are those, Dr. Stan, that are seeking to learn how to help these people. And so our commitment as an assembly, and of course myself, is to help train other workers, counselors, therapists, of how to recognize people who have this background of generational satanic ritual abuse, how to work with them, and to help them come to the place where all the internal fragmentation and attendant demonization can be resolved, and they can begin to live productive and fruitful lives.
Well, basically, how can you separate somebody who has a spiritual obsession or possession from somebody who's frankly schizophrenic?
Well, I don't work with anyone who's schizophrenic because that's a biological problem. The people I work with are those that are coming out of severe and chronic trauma in early childhood, which results in dissociative identity disorder. It used to be called multiple personality disorder. And when you're working with people that have a fragmented identity, you have humanity there, but in the process of traumatization and the fragmentation of their person, there's, of course, assigned demons, there's channeling in of spirits, and different parts of a person's fragmented identity are trained to do different jobs for an occult purpose or for whatever agenda that the particular perpetrators are seeking to accomplish. And so when you're working with people like this, Dr. Stan, you have to work with the fragmentation of the person's identity, but in the process, there will be demonic attachments that must be removed so that the humanity can be integrated and brought into wholeness.
Well, how can you actually remove these demonic elements from the individual? Because certainly the demons don't want to give up their possession.
No, that's absolutely correct. But if you issue a direct command in the name of Jesus Christ, and that's what I do, I engage them. If I'm aware of a resistance or something that involves a demonic attachment, I command that spirit to leave or manifest into my face. And most of them don't do that anymore because I love to have an engagement simply because in the authority and name of Jesus Christ, there is no way that the enemy can stand up to the name and power of Jesus Christ. And so they will either leave or they will have to disclose what these entities might claim as legal ground. And then we just deal with it and clear that off and then allow that humanity that has been infected with this demonic attachment to come into wholeness and come into integration with the person who is seeking help.
But aren't a lot of these people actually going to psychiatrists who don't recognize this supernatural entity, this other dimensional, the personality that Sydney is seizing and controlling these people? This is my concern. I'm sure that the psychiatrists, since they Sydney are coming from a secular point of view, wouldn't recognize what this is all about.
Psychiatrists use drugs, of course, to address the problem. A psychologist who is properly trained in trauma and working with these people, they can give a measure of help. But if they're not Christian, they can only take them so far. Because if they don't recognize there's a spiritual dimension to this, that there are real spiritual beings that are fallen, that Jesus encountered them when he was here on earth, he had to deal with the demoniacs. And you have to engage these spiritual entities. First of all, you have to be born again. And if you're just dealing with this as a psychological problem, even if you're doing a good job of working with the issue of trauma, you can only take these people so far, Dr. Stan. It takes Jesus Christ to make a person whole and complete and lacking in nothing, as we see in James chapter 1, verse 4.
Well, I'm sure that's absolutely true. I think that the difficulty we have is that most people don't really recognize this element. Certainly, I think it's only a small number of ministers who really even know how to approach this. Would that be a fair estimate?
Unfortunately, that is the case. We just came back from South Africa last year. We did two seminars down there, two three-day seminars. Myself and five of our church members went down there to train counselors and ministers and therapists. And I think in Pretoria, there was maybe one pastor. When we went to Cape Town, there was one pastor, and the rest were just various Christian workers. We came back from Germany last year in 2013, and it was encouraging that a pastor actually invited us to come and do a four-day seminar there in Germany. But there was only maybe one or two, and the rest were basically counselors and therapists. So for whatever reason, there seems to be a spiritual blindness that is over
we're talking about people who are really demonically possessed, who've come from many times from certainly demonic families. But certainly do sometimes people come in, Doug, that certainly have no history of family relationships at all, and just for no apparent reason simply seem to be demonically possessed?
Well, I would not refer to the people I've worked with as demonically possessed. I would see them more as those that have a history of a hidden occult history that come out of families who have been ritualistically abused. And, of course, with that, there are demonic attachments. But possession implies ownership. And every person I've worked with that has this background, Dr. Stan, are all believers. So in reality, they're owned by the Lord. But because of the severe and chronic trauma in early childhood, they have a fragmented identity, and incorporated into the protocols of programmers is the infusion and the introduction of demonic powers. So they will be there, and they have to be dealt with. But I would say that these people are demonized, but they're not possessed. And I think it's more of a trauma issue that needs to be worked with. If it's just a deliverance model where you just anoint them with oil and try to cast out demons, Dr. Stan, these people never get better. You have to deal with the fragmentation. You have to deal with the dissociation and help the person resolve the conflicts and all that which represents the dissociative identity disorder issue so their lives can be reclaimed. It's been stolen from them through trauma and horrific abuse. These people who come to me, they're not super soldiers, as some have been referred to, but they're highly programmed and they're captives of the adversary, and they're really seeking help to be delivered from all that they've been born into and all that they've gone through.
Well, now, basically, how do you approach them? How are you able to reach them and get them to see what's going on? Is it through conversation? Is it through suddenly coming in direct confrontation with these spiritual entities which are there, which certainly are plaguing the people? How do you approach it?
First of all, people that come to me, they have various issues. They're usually depressed, or sometimes they hear conversations in their head. And if you address them and they're not leaving, you issue a command that these are not spiritual entities. When they come in with various problems, I have an interview protocol that I have used through the years to begin to ask the right questions. That's the key. If you're interviewing someone that has a history of trauma, you need to ask the right questions. As they begin to talk and report, then often the various aspects of the people who are seeking help will start coming forward, and they begin to speak like they're different people. They're really not, but they're different ages, they're different mindsets. Some are carrying a particular agenda to bring down a pastor, or they may be assassins, or they're just there as a kind of a modem, if you will. The fragmentation creates an opening to the powers of darkness so that these people's internal DID system represents a multi-layered weapons platform so that they're not even conscious of it. But when these people are coming into churches, they are really a weapons platform. But getting back to your question, you have to know how to ask the right questions. And as these people begin to share what they're hearing, what's going on inside their head, over a period of time, we get, I call it, an internal picture of the landscape of their DID system. This takes time. There's not a quick fix to it, but we have seen people fully and completely integrated and no longer are suffering from the symptoms of trauma, dissociation, and demonization.
Well, do people actually speak in different voices or different tones?
I wouldn't say different tones. We have met different parts of a person who's spoken ancient languages, Druidic, Babylonian, German. Many of the times they will be speaking in German. There are languages that are not even human. It's a demonically inspired language. And the key is just to clear away the demonic that may be attached or infected in those dissociated parts of the person's identity so they can be released. It's the humanity that's been infiltrated and captured and fragmented. And as we clear away the demonic infestation, then that humanity is allowed to be released, to be worked with, then integrated and brought into a place of healing.
Well, now, do these people ever become violent, or certainly these demonic entities ever become violent or threaten you?
Oh, yeah. That's very frequent. When that starts, I'm aware of it before it happens, and I will just issue a command that anything that's violent is going to come forward. I bind all the powers of darkness that may be attached to an angry persecutor altar and strip it of that power and command the demonic to separate off, and the humanity can come forward. And when that angry part of the person is here, you can begin to work with them, because the angry parts are very important to deal with, and they can be very violent, but it's how you handle it. time of dealing with this, how to diffuse the demonic aspect prior to the emergence of some of these angry and violent parts of the person's DID system.
Well, do you do this by yourself? Do you ordinarily have somebody in the room with you? How do you go about handling something like that?
Yes, I usually have others with me, usually for training purpose. We try to do it as much as possible in more of a collective sense, although with some people they don't want to have a lot of people around because it's difficult for them to even talk about what's happened to them. But I usually always have at least one other person with me.
Are there more and more people becoming trained and able to handle this across America?
I don't see it so much in America. I don't know how to explain that, except that there seems to be more of a blindness and a veil of deception that's over the West here. But as I've gone to South Africa and Germany and worked there, there is a tremendous open door there for training. And we've seen great progress in those two countries as we've been able to do some training there. I've been invited back to Germany again this year, the latter part of this year. So for whatever reason here in America, there is a veil of deception, especially over clergy, as we'd say, or those in ministry in this country. I've seen the biggest resistance here in America.
Well, telephone number 800-259-5791. Give us a call. Before we get to our caller, Doug, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and your ministry?
Yes, they can go on the web at dougriggs.org. And the topic that I'm talking about now is under the SRA/DID page on my webpage. And also I have a number of interviews I've done, of course, with you and others on the interview page, as well as on the Bite Show page. So if people are interested, they go to dougriggs.org.
Okay, fine. Well, let's go to Tom, who's calling us from California. Hi, Tom. How are we doing?
We're doing pretty good, Dr. Stan. For Pastor Riggs, very interesting subject you have here. One of the hats I wear in my life is I'm a fire chaplain. And part of the reason I'm wearing that hat is I've been tasked by the Lord to develop a spiritual toolkit for firefighters. And so I'm feel like I'm on the front lines and over my head into something that I don't really know that much about. But I believe that these entities that are trapped in spirits within people, that when a first responder shows up on the scene of a newly dead person, that these spirits might be looking for a home. And I feel somewhat charged by the Lord to develop a toolkit of some sort to prepare firefighters for these things. Any thoughts you might have on the subject?
Yes, and your name again, please?
Tom.
Oh, Tom, that's right. I would just say that if the situation you're describing is the people that are involved, if they're not Christians, they're going to be vulnerable, okay? But if they're a Christian, if they go on the scene, they can just do a specific prayer that anything that would be released through this person's death that would seek to attach anyway, just command in the name of Jesus Christ that any entities released that may have been released through this person's death, command them to be bound to the feet of Jesus Christ. They're not allowed to go to anyone, and we command them to be delivered over to and subject to Jesus Christ so that God the Father, according to his word, would make them a footstool for the feet of Jesus Christ, and that's a scriptural prayer.
Okay. That sounds like a very useful tool if they're Christians. However, the vast majority, unfortunately, are not.
If they're not born again, they're going to be vulnerable. 1 John 5:19 says the whole world, that is the whole world civilization that's outside of Christ, is literally in the sphere of the evil one. The prince of the power of the air is that spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. So if a person is not born again, there is no protection from any kind of invasion or attachment that may be released through a person's death. There is no protection.
But this is the real problem we have, is we have so many people who are not Christians who do not understand there's a spiritual element out there, and they become so subject to it. This is the great tragedy. And I fear that there's so many people who really are, so they may be Christians, can't be possessed, but non-Christians can be possessed, believe me.
I definitely believe you. And this toolkit that I'm thinking that I need to put together will definitely lead people in that direction. But I'm looking at the moment for some sort of tools or assistance or something to get moving with this project.
You're going to have to separate the Christian from the non-Christian. I really believe that.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Tom. I think for those that are listening, it is true that there's an attack upon unbelievers, and of course they're already in a state of spiritual death. But the focus that I've been working with for the past 30 years is the enemy's assault on Christians, and especially those that are coming out of generational satanic ritual abuse. They have specific needs, and it's so important that if pastors are not going to be working with this, they at least become aware and have the framework, because some of them are just ignorant of this level of evil. I gave a series of messages here several years ago called The Celestial Court, which can be obtained on our website under The Bite Show. But The Celestial Court gives the framework for why God has allowed this level of evil to come to fruition and to reach this crescendo at this part of human history. That God has a plan to counter that which is Satan's last-ditch effort, of course, to create an army, ultimately to thwart the coming of Jesus Christ in Revelation 19:19. If people have a proper framework and understand what the overall plan of God is, that God is victorious, we have a plan that is laid out in the Word of God to help us understand evil, understand the nature of our enemy, but more importantly, is to understand the resources that we have in Christ, and the provision that he's made for us to be soldiers. We are an army. We are in a battle. We are in a warfare, whether we like it or not. And God has given us spiritual equipment, weapons of warfare, not carnal, but mighty for the bringing down of strongholds. The goal is not only to equip counselors, but to equip believers to know their position in Christ and to know the spiritual power that is available through our union with Christ and in the name of Jesus Christ, coming against these forces and liberating Christians who have been taken captive by the enemy in this generation by the most insidious attack that I don't think we see anything like what is happening today in all of world history.
And I think it's so interesting that in other countries there seem to be much more aware of this sort of thing than here in the United States. And certainly, I mean, it was probably 30 or 40 years ago when I first became aware of this. And certainly over in China, they were well aware of this sort of thing in the Orient. They were well aware of this. They were aware of this in Africa, but not aware here in America. It's almost as if, why, of course, God's allowed blinders to be put on to the people. And our job is to try to get people to understand the true nature of the Spirit. Spiritual battle. Well, if you're out there, you have a question or comment, our number 1-800-259-5791.
I just want to emphasize that when Christians know their position in Christ, know that we as believers are actually joined to the victorious Jesus Christ, we're members of his body, to be equipped and to be walking in fellowship with God, that is the greatest privilege that we could imagine in the opportunities given us in this generation.
We have a couple of callers on the line. We have Carol calling from the great state of Washington. Hi, Carol. How are you listening? Oh, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
I have a question. I don't know quite know how to start. My granddaughter has a friend that's 12 years old that says she sees demons in her room. And I had told her to tell her that to leave her alone in Jesus' name, that she's a child of God now. Thing is, she's not a Christian, and I wondered if you thought there's some age of accountability where children would be covered in a situation like that or not.
Well, if she's minor like that is a counselor, I'd want to know what her relationship with her father and mother is and what her childhood background is.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah. If there's demonic manifestation in a child's life, the father would be the one that would be responsible to close those doors or to deal with that. And if he's not in a position to do that, then the child will be vulnerable, and I would certainly pray for intervention. Did you say this child is not a Christian?
No, she's not.
Yeah. Then the only way that she can even begin the process of coming into any kind of freedom is to be born again and then to come to understand her position in Christ. I was just going to mention earlier on as a question, on my website, under the counseling tab, I have posted the Daily Affirmation of Faith and Warfare Prayer by Victor Matthew, which can be downloaded free. If there is a Christian in her life, they could seek to lead her to the Lord and show her that there's provision made for her as a child of God to be able to deal with these entities and clear that kind of obtrusion and interference in her life out. Just get rid of it.
Well, she did move to Oregon. Her mother allowed her to leave and go live with her sister, her mother's sister, because it was, I guess, bad at home. But if she's alone in her room, does it do any good to command them to leave her alone? And if she does, what kind of a tone should she use with these demons?
If she's not born again, she has no authority over demons.
So it'll do no good. Okay.
It's the thing that the people have to have a personal relationship with the Lord, or you can't deal with this sort of thing.
That's right.
Thank you very much.
And why don't you go to one more time, Doug? Get your website out there. Carol can go to it.
The website is dougriggs.org, and the reference I just made was under the counseling tab, was the Daily Affirmation of Faith and Warfare Prayer, but that's for Christians. I would just say that people need to just be aware of their relationship with the Lord. If they're not born again, that Jesus made the statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And once a person has a relationship with Jesus Christ, to get in a community where people are growing and hearing the Word of God and understand the weapons of our warfare, for there to be that which represents true worship and growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the accurate exposition of God's Word, this is all very important, and as the days get darker, we need to be in a place where we know who we are, we know our position in Christ, and we're in a community where there are those that are seeking God and are growing in their relationship with the Lord.
I certainly agree with you, and I think that we're moving into very, very difficult times, and I think if you don't personally have a relationship with our Lord, you're out there in the listening audience, give it serious consideration, try to find a minister who will talk to you and hopefully pledge your life to him. God bless you, Doug. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
God bless.